This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news of issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, I don't suppose you've ever wondered, as you're sorting out your rubbish and filing cans and bottles and card into the various recycling bins, what actually happens to your carefully sorted recycling? Where in the world does it end up? What's it used for? And I know that many of you have seen documentaries showing UK recycling dumped in developing countries, causing environmental havoc, and wondered if putting items into your recycling bins is even a responsible thing to do. I've certainly had those concerns too. So I was interested to see a recent report, the Hertfordshire Waste Partnership Final Destinations Report 21-22, which gives answers to many of my questions. I spoke to David Burley, who works as one of the two Waste Aware coordinators for the Hearts Waste Partnership and was the lead author of this report. I started by asking David about our food waste and why it was so important to try and collect it separately.
Well, it enables the food waste to be treated in a different way from the way that it would be treated if it was collected mixed up with garden waste. The food waste in the separate collections is treated by a process known as anaerobic digestion, which enables methane and other gases to be drawn off the food waste in an oxygen-free environment. And that can then, on site and in Hertfordshire, interestingly, be used to power electricity generation units, which feed directly into the national grid. So it's a very innovative technology. And the two anaerobic digestion plants, which are used to treat food waste generated in Hertfordshire, are both in the county. The material is not travelling long distances before it's treated.
Okay, so that's an instance where food waste goes to good use and locally as well. It doesn't have to travel, well, even very far within the UK. Okay, and how about garden waste? Is that treated locally as well?
It is, and once it's separated from food waste, it can be treated really essentially in the same way as you would your garden compost, but just on a much larger scale. So where the food waste is collected separately, it often goes to what's known as open windrowing, which is just a gigantic compost heap, and it will be shredded and turned over, but it will use the heat that the decaying material itself generates to produce the compost, just as it would at home, but as I say, on a much larger scale. And again, the facilities, some of the facilities are in Hertfordshire. There's one near Buntingford, and then there are ones which are literally just outside the county boundary, one in Enfield, for example. But, to all intents and purposes, it's a very near process. It's not travelling long distances.
And once that green waste is made into compost, I know some of it's sold back to us in bags. Is that how it all ends up, or do you know if any of it ends up?
There are large quantities of it, so there's probably more produced than could easily be accommodated by gardeners using it. Though, as you say, some of it, and from that facility in Buntingford, for example, is available for Hertfordshire residents to buy to complete the circuit, if you like. But yes, it can be used for agricultural purposes, or it can be used for landscaping. It will all find a good use.
Okay, good to hear. Okay, so moving on to what we'd loosely call recycling. I wondered if you could just tell us how you find a home for recycling and how you ensure that that is a good home.
Well, the work is done largely in the private sector. The local authorities collect the materials and then hand it over to other organisations who are responsible for doing the processing. And that begins in the case of most of the recyclable waste collected in Hertfordshire at what is known as a materials reclamation facility, or MRF in the trade, if you like. And there are several in Hertfordshire. There's a large one in St Albans, actually, which handles a lot of the mixed recyclable waste collected in Hertfordshire. But there are other facilities in the county and just outside the county, which other Hertfordshire councils use as well. The principles of these plants are similar. The different materials will be separated using a mixture of electronics and various sophisticated sorting techniques, electromagnets to get the steel and things like that. And some of it, though, actually is still sorted by hand. And then the material will be separated into the different commodities. So that might be something as simple as old newspapers. It might be something as complicated as one of a number of different plastic polymer types. Once those materials are separated at this plant, they will be bulked and compressed, and then they can then start their journey to the factories and other facilities that will be used to turn them eventually into new products.
Okay. And given that it's not just you working directly with the destination handler of these products, can you ensure, can you see the audit trail for these goods, or do you not know perhaps where things ultimately end up?
Well, it's a trust system, of course, because it would not be appropriate for sort of local government officers to be travelling the country and indeed the world to inspect different sites. But first of all, the UK government requires local authorities to trace the materials that they use to the point at which they become a usable item. So that's not necessarily something being made into a new product. It can be, but the requirement is to track it to the point at which it becomes a usable commodity. So that could be, and is in the case, for example, of aluminium being made into aluminium cans. It's a very simple process in the UK. Nearly all the aluminium goes to a facility in Warrington and is turned there and then back into an aluminium can. Simple as. In the case of some plastics, it's much more complicated. The different plastics, the several different plastic types that are sought for recycling, they all have to be separated. They may then need to go to a specialist plant to be cleaned and shredded. And only then would they be sold on again to someone who might turn it into a new plastic product. That could be a new plastic bottle, or it could be a drain pipe or garden furniture or something like that. So different commodities have a different type of journey, but all of them are tracked on behalf of the local authorities by the sorting facilities that use them, and then that material may then be handed on to another, sometimes international brokers who trade in these materials. It goes into the private sector, but the local authorities have an obligation to understand at exactly what point it's been turned into a reusable commodity. And they will then record that, and we can respond to queries from the public, from elected members of local authorities, from journalists and researchers. We can then dig into our records and explain exactly what's happened to each of the different commodities, if necessary.
Now, one of the recycling types that I was really interested in was the paper and card. Now, some of the paper is recycled in the UK, but almost all of the card goes abroad, doesn't it? I was surprised by that. Could you just tell us where it goes and what happens to it?
Most of it does go to Far Eastern markets. It's simply because it's a packaging material which is mainly used to package finished goods, particularly electronics, components. And that's where those components and commodities by and large are made. So the material is going to be reprocessed close to the locations where it will be required for packaging. If we make more manufactured goods in the United Kingdom, then we'll need more cardboard in the United Kingdom to package it for transport purposes. But at the moment, many of the finished goods that come into the UK, especially in the electronics sector, are made mainly in Far Eastern locations, and that's where the packaging is made as well. I mean, having said that, you know, there is a revenue stream from exporting the raw materials. So it's an industry, and it's a well-established international industry.
Presumably it means that virgin wood isn't needed to make the cardboard for...
Obviously, yes, you're quite right. There are environmental advantages wherever this occurs.
Okay. Now, something else that is ending up abroad is textiles. Can you tell us where they go to, please?
Well, the textiles that go abroad are generally clothing that's of a marketable, merchantable quality. And they tend to go, in the case of textiles collected in Hertfordshire, to West African secondhand clothing markets. There are some other markets in the Far East and in East Africa as well, which are also served to a lesser extent. But most of it goes to various West African clothing markets. But actually, a significant quantity is still processed in the UK. Those are the textiles that are not suitable for continued use in clothing. And they're processed in Yorkshire, as it happens, in a couple of mills, and they're turned either into sort of fillings or into things like mattress buttons.
Okay. I mean, there is increasing concern, and I don't know if you've seen television programs about old clothes going to sub-Saharan Africa, for start, that the provision of them stifling local traditional clothing production, and I suppose even worse, just ending up in a huge polluting and badly managed clothing dump. Are you sure that our clothing isn't contributing to that, or would you reconsider sending our clothing out there?
I think you may be referring to a Channel 4 dispatches program, which, yes, was very alarming in that it described both disruptions to local markets and poor waste management practices following on from poor quality clothing arriving in these marketplaces. And there appeared to be a failure in the ability of the sellers of the clothing to actually be able to select good quality material before they got it. They were being sent it in bundles, which included poor quality material, and there were no effective means of disposing of the material that they couldn't sell. I mean, we trade with very reputable companies that are proud of their record in supplying these markets. So insofar as we can be certain that our material is not contributing to that, we're trusting to the word of the companies we trade with. But to the extent that we can be confident, these are highly reputable companies. I think the firm we're trading with at the moment, the director is chair of the Textile Recycling Association. So we're trading with the people who look after the sort of regulatory bounds for the textile industry. So I think we're confident that our material is not contributing to that problem, though we obviously are concerned about it, and we do ask questions.
So something else that there's been documentaries on, concerns about its dumping, particularly over in Asia, is plastics. And I was very interested to see where our plastic ends up. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, I mean, the journey that's recorded for the plastics that we collect in over 90% of the plastics ends in the United Kingdom. In the case of plastics, as I mentioned, the point at which they are deemed to be a valuable commodity may not be where they're actually made into a new product. It may be the point at which they become a feedstock, if you like, or a raw material. So that might be after a sort of separation at the materials reclamation facility and then onward treatment at a facility that will clean and pelletize or shred the material. And then it's ready for the fourth stage, if you like, of being turned into a new product. So the process of actually turning the plastics into something that can be used again in manufacturing in a large measure occurs in the United Kingdom. We have a number of specialist plastics facilities that will prepare these separated plastics, clean them and shred them and test them to make sure they're of good quality, and then make them available to other manufacturers. That's the point at which we record their journey. So the raw materials may then go abroad, but they will be sold abroad. So we're talking about an income stream, and we rely on the fact that there's an income stream, if you like, to be confident that once it's gone abroad, it's being used for reputable purposes. There would be no point in throwing it away. It's been expensively treated in order to create a new raw material. If they're not reprocessed in the United Kingdom, they'll be going abroad to be reprocessed abroad.
Right. So when we put our plastics into our recycling bin, we can be certain that they are actually going to be used for something useful. They aren't just going to end up in a random bale which has been dumped in a lay-by in Turkey, for example.
Well, documentary programmes show that that happens from time to time. But the audit trails that we have for our material show that our material is going to reputable firms who are turning it into valuable either products or commodities that can be used to make products. And that's the point at which our ability to track them ends. But there has been a revenue stream for that. You can't make money putting a bale of plastics in a Turkish lay-by. Nobody could sustain a business that did that. So we're confident that the material is genuinely finding an end use.
Okay. So looking at the waste that's not recycled, about a third of it goes to landfill and about a third of it is burnt for energy. Now, obviously, there aren't endless holes in the ground that we can fill with our rubbish, and incineration, whilst it does produce some energy, is, you know, not great for air pollution and does produce greenhouse gases. Are there plans to take steps to reduce the amount of residual waste that there is, perhaps with a collection of additional materials for recycling? Or is there anything in particular you want us to do to help with that reduction?
Well, there is a government initiative known as Extended Producer Responsibility, which will place on the manufacturers and retailers of materials that are used, particularly for packaging, the responsibility of paying the full costs of ensuring that the materials are recycled or disposed of properly. At the moment, much of the cost of running the recycling systems falls to council tax payers. So this would transfer some of the responsibility for paying for these processes to the firms themselves, and they would then need to reflect that in their practices. The aim would be to drive more efficient systems that use less packaging and to find new ways of recycling packaging. But we need to look to the private sector to do this, and the economic instruments that are being used under extended producer responsibility do that. You know, they incentivize the manufacturers and the retailers of packaging to look at new, more efficient, more recyclable methods. So we would expect to see a diminution of the number of the range of materials, actually. We would expect to see a simplification of packaging. We would expect to see greater attention on the materials that are readily and easily recyclable. And we would expect also to see new technologies resulting in less packaging being used. I mean, one of the unsung stories in waste is that we are actually producing less of it at the household level. And when we produce our next report, we're already beginning to look at the figures for the year that ended 3 or 4 months ago. And we can see that a trend that was disrupted by COVID, but was established before COVID, of the overall amount of rubbish per household is continuing on a declining trajectory. And this is partly because even in advance of the government scheme for extended producer responsibility, the huge rises in prices affect the manufacturers of packaging just as they do everybody else. And so they're already looking for ways of what's known as lightweighting, using less material, getting the material to perform better, and using simpler material so that they can be more easily recyclable and the value can be recaptured from them. That just makes good economic sense as well as environmental sense. So the trends, though they're slow, are in the right direction.
David, thank you so much for telling us about that.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
I was talking there to David Burley, one of the Waste Aware coordinators for the Hearts Waste Partnership. So has that made you redouble your efforts to recycle what you can? Or perhaps you're more inspired to try and cut down on the amount of waste you produce, full stop? Well, do let me know. You can get in touch with me and tell me what you think via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and Facebook. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.